Got me all inspired to preach now. So. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. Notice, by the way, just in passing, that while Moses was alive, God didn't come to Joshua. He came after Moses died. Now, he came to Joshua saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and from this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the Cellulites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I think this is a great passage to begin the new year with. It's a passage that introduces Joshua really into our thinking. He has been part of the narrative in the Bible in small ways, but now he is the undisputed leader of Israel. He is the successor to Moses. Now, as the successor of Moses, God comes to him and says three times, Joshua, you need to be strong and courageous. You're going to have to be strong and courageous. Strong here means hard, to harden yourself. Courageous means to settle your feet. It's sort of the stance of a football player who goes down so that he doesn't get knocked over. Strengthen your feet. Be tough, Joshua, because the task that you're facing is not going to be an easy one. Now, when you think about what Joshua was facing, it was a daunting situation. First of all, he was going forward without Moses in his life. Moses had been like a father figure to him. He had been the leader of the nation. Sure, there were times when Moses was not well liked. There were times when perhaps the people would have wanted a different leader. There were times of dissatisfaction with the rule of Moses. But as long as he was there, the people need not worry. There was stability in his leadership. And now he is gone. That may be where you are today as you face 2021. I think of some folks that we've lost in the life of this church in the last few months. I think of Judy Thomas. I think of Rosalie Jones. I think of Daryl Savine, Arthur Ricker. I think of Ronnie James. These are individuals that people counted on. They were individuals that people had depended on to provide for them in some instances, to give encouragement. They were individuals that people looked to for wisdom. And now some of you are facing the next year without them in your life. That can be daunting as you think about it. And so Joshua is facing the future without Moses. He's facing the future with a new mission. His mission is simply to take this nation that has never really fought a war into a land that has been promised to them, defeat the enemies, establish a nation, build a nation, establish these people, organize them for their generation and for the generation there of their posterity. That's not a big mission, is it? Nation building isn't big. We didn't find out. I mean, when we went to the Middle East a few years ago, we found out how easy it is to build nations. It's an easy job. You can throw hundreds of billions of dollars at it and not succeed. So he has this tremendous problem. He has this tremendous challenge. Take these people, conquer a land, build a nation. And that can be a daunting thing in your life. Some of you have a new mission that you're looking at. You've been married. Maybe you have children on the way. Maybe you've started a business. Maybe there's a new calling on your life from God. And that in and of itself, again, can be daunting. Joshua not only had a life without Moses, not only did he have this new mission, but he was going to a new location, a place that he may not have understood well. Some of you have moved. You understand that. You know what it's like to go from the wilderness to the promised land. You've come to us from Alabama or California. You've come to the Tennessee. You've come from the wilderness to the promised land. You understand what that's like. And then others of you know what it's like to have a new set of enemies, because that's what he was having. You know, in the wilderness, there weren't many enemies of Israel. Nobody wanted their land. It was desolate land. Nobody was out to fight them over the wilderness. But now in the promised land, there were plenty of people who were willing to fight to keep what they had against Israel. And some of you, again, are facing a future with some enemies you didn't have. God has blessed you. God has given you a vision. And because of that, you now have some enemies that you didn't have in 2020. Some of you have given your life to Jesus Christ in 2020. And we should have told you this, but we wanted you to enjoy the honeymoon. But when you give your life to Jesus Christ, in one sense, you get far more enemies than you had before him. Because when you were in sin, when you were your own ruler, you only had one enemy, and that was God. And he was a pretty nice enemy to have, all things being considered. But now that you've given your life to God, now you've got the devil as your enemy, and everybody and every demon that he controls. So in one sense, when you serve God, you have more enemies. Now, the great thing is you got a lot more power, so it all evens out. But today, you might have a few more enemies because you've said, I'm going to tackle that addiction. I'm going after the stronghold in my family. And because you have a new mission, you might have some new enemies. But greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So here is Joshua. Again, God comes to him and says, because of all of this, you need to harden yourself. Joshua, you're just going to have to be tough. You're just going to have to brace yourself so that you are not easily run over. Joshua, that's all that I can tell you. You're just going to have to be tougher than you've been before. And I want to tell you today, you may just have to be tougher. You may just have to be stronger. I remember when Ava, who is probably the most sensitive of my children, and she is probably the one who is the most people-pleasing. So we say in CR, the most codependent. But she was always out to please her teachers more than her sister. And the first day of, it might have been second grade, I can't remember. But the first day she got, now when I don't know what they call it, in my day it was called a demerit. First day out. She hadn't had one the whole year before, and she came home crushed. And when I heard that, my first instinct is, what kind of teacher is this? The first day without warning. And the first thing I wanted to do was say, what a jerk. Who is this person? But then I thought, you know, my little girl is going to face many people in her life that may not like her and find her as delightful as I do. And she's just going to have to learn to live with those kinds of people. We've all had teachers. We've all had situations. We've all had employers that, for whatever reason, didn't like us. And it was up to us to figure out how to live in the world that they controlled. And I thought, you know, she's just going to have to get tougher. And I think her greatest achievement in life so far, she'll be 11 in a few days, is that she was able to figure out how to get on the sunny side of that room. And I think at the end of that, she had a great relationship with her teacher. And I think she was chosen as the favorite kid. I don't know what kind of award they had, but it was the biggest award of her class that year. And I think that was her greatest achievement. But she just had to get tougher. She had to get thicker skin. She had to see the situation and work through it. And I think God says that to his children sometimes. Listen, I know your life is tough. I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be difficult. And all I can tell you is get thicker skin and get stronger. Just get stronger, Joshua. It's going to be a problem. There's fours to fight. The people are complainers. It's a difficult situation. I don't want to hear from you every time something goes wrong, or all you're going to do is be coming over here whining to me. Just get a little stronger, Joshua. Be courageous. Now, he tells Joshua how he can do that. And the first thing that he says is, Joshua, you can be strong, you can be courageous, when you remember the promises I have given you. Joshua, whenever they're complaining, whenever they don't like you, whenever there is an army in front of you, remember this promise: I will be with you, and no one will be able to stand against you. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Now remember that. Be strong and courageous whenever you remember that I am promising you that I will be with you, and what I did for Moses, I'll do for you. Now you say, wow, that's fantastic. But what about me? Have you not read the Word? Have you not read the promises of God? Have you not read 1 Corinthians 10, which says that there is no temptation, not a one, whatever the name is, whatever the brand is, there is not a single temptation that can overtake you, but in every temptation, God will make a way of escape. In every single temptation, God can make a way of escape for you. That's a promise to put in your pocket. That's something that when you're facing a trial, you ought to take out. The Bible says that he is able to keep you from falling. Doesn't matter what you're facing. He is able to keep you from falling. He is able to keep everything you've committed to him, everything you've put in the safe in heaven, he's able to keep it for you. You got some promises. He is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to dig you out of the deepest pit. He is able to sit you on a mountain like a deer, the Bible says. He is able to put you on a rock. And if you build your life on the rock, there's not a storm that can hit you, that can knock you off. Those are the promises of God in your life. And so you and I ought to face 2021 understanding what he has promised. Now notice secondly, he says, not only should you remember, not only should you remember my promises, but you ought to be strong and courageous as you obey my laws. As you obey my laws, he said, what I told Moses, the law of Moses, meditate on it, follow it, And as you follow the law, you ought to be strong and courageous. That ought to breed courage in you. In one sense, it takes courage to obey the law. But in another sense, obeying the law produces courage. There's a circular effect there. See, here's the thing. Some of you don't know about God. Let me tell you a couple things about him. He's really smart. Really smart. You know, they say Thomas Edison is maybe the smartest American who ever lived because he invented over 5,000 things. There's over 2 million different species of animals. And each year we find out about 10,000 new species we didn't know existed before. 2 million, 10,000 new ones that we didn't know existed before. God created all of it. That's not counting all the other stuff he created. He's really smart. He's really powerful. And he really does love you. He sent his son to die for you. He cares about you. While you were yet in your sin, while you were yet in your rebellion, he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. Now, this is what this means. His law is produced out of his wisdom and out of his love for you. There is something that overtakes minds, and it might be the work of Satan, I don't know. But where we believe, and maybe it's just really bad preaching and teaching, but there is something that can overtake you where you say, the law of God, if I were to live it all, if I were to obey it all, my life would be boring and drab. But you haven't read the book. Read the heroes of the faith. Did Abraham have a drab life? Did Isaac have a drab life? Did King David have a drab life? I think at times he wished he would have been a little more drab than it was. Did Joseph have a drab life? Did Esther, did Ruth have boring lives? No, they were lives that were submitted to God, although there were failures at times in their lives, but they were lives generally submitted to God, but they were lives with great romance. They were lives with great adventure. They were lives with great stories. They were lives that they make miniseries about or blockbuster movies about. Listen to me. God isn't out to give you a drab life. He is out to give you a protected life, a life protected from damage and damnation. He wants you to enjoy life to the fullest. The law is for your benefit. And as you obey the law, you can have great confidence in life. See, you don't have to be that bright if you just obey the law. Some of you know where I am because you've been here in the last week. When the kids get toys, and when the wives get toys sometimes, the husband has to put it together. It can be quite daunting. There's lots of pieces. I was putting together this Adirondack chair the other day. And I wanted to look like I knew what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. But I had the law. See, I had this little thing that comes with it. And I could sit there in my house, flipping page by page, putting that board with that board and that screw. And I could act like I knew what I was doing. My kid comes by and says, you know what you're doing? I know exactly what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing, but I got something that tells me what I'm doing. You can have great confidence as you follow the instructions in life. You don't have to understand it if you'll just do it. God's already done the thinking for you. He loves you. He says, I've created it. Here's the instruction manual on how to live life. You don't have to know what you're doing. Just follow the instruction manual. And as you follow the instruction manual, people can come up to you and say, do you know what you're doing? You can say, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm following the book. I really don't know. I couldn't find it myself. But as long as I'm in the book, I know what I'm doing. Although I really don't know what I'm doing. All right. See, you can have great confidence as you follow the book. Follow the law, God says to him. Just follow the law. And you can have confidence as you face the future. Thirdly, he says, remember my promises. Remember those. follow the book. Just follow the instructions, Joshua. And remember, I will be with you always. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, it doesn't matter what my future looks like, what your future looks like. In the end, there's going to be a lot of heartbreak ahead. It may not be this year, but our hearts get broken. People don't do as we would hope. People pass away in our life. And that can be a really discouraging thing to face if we didn't know that God is with us. But the Bible says, and that's Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. It's interesting. What he says here to Joshua is said verbatim in Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Bill, have you got that? Be content with such things as you have. This is the second line. For he himself said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Exactly what God said to Joshua, the Bible says, that's a promise for you. That's a promise for me. God does not leave us or forsake us. He's with you. You can be courageous as you face your future if you know that God is with you. Now let me say this and I'm finished. But don't log off. I got to quit doing that, right? As we face 2021 and beyond, if we understand the promises of God, if we live obeying the commandments of God, if we understand that He will be with us, we can face the future confidently, but understand this. What is also true for Joshua is also true for me and you, which is that there is no gain in the future. There are no breakthroughs in the future without great adversity. That's true individually. That's true for this church. Even though we are strong and courageous, there is a principle in the Bible, which is this, that when you want to take new ground, you will always face a new opposition from the devil. Now, if you want to stay where you're at, if you want to just manage your hurt, habit, or hang-up, if you just want to reach the point that you're at and not go any farther, you may make it through the next year. You may make it through the rest of your life without a lot of opposition. But the principle, again, in Scripture is this, that if there is going to be gain in the future, you are going to have to deal with enemies you did not have before. I have a friend named Rick Ballard who pastors in town. He spent 2 years writing his thesis in seminary on the book of Acts. And one of the points he drove in the book of Acts, and I think it's very interesting, is that demonic opposition always came when the disciples entered land that had not yet been reached for Christ. Once they broke through the wall and they ministered and the gospel was preached, others who came into those lands did not experience the demonic activity that the breakthrough group did. And the point is that when you're breaking through into new ground, you are going to face greater opposition. There's a place in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, where Paul is on his second missionary journey. And his first missionary journey, he worked around Asia. He worked sort of around the Mediterranean Ocean. He had planned to do that on his second missionary journey and primarily go back and visit the places that he had been before. But he got a vision, and the vision said, go to Macedonia. Now, Macedonia was the first nation that you would enter if you went into Europe. And so here's Paul wanting to revisit the places where he had ministered on the continent of Asia, but a message comes to him, go to Europe. Don't stay in Asia, go to the next continent. And what's interesting is that from the time he gets that message and he says, I'm going to take more ground, he faces tremendous demonic opposition. There's a girl in 16, verse 16, and it says that they encounter her, and literally in the Greek it says she has the spirit of Python on her. She has a Python spirit on her, something that seems to be heavily demonic. And then what happens out of that is that Paul and Silas end up in a jail, beaten, bloodied, almost beaten to death, but they're thrown into the inner jail. But the Bible says that at the midnight hour, they began singing praises to God, and the bars came open in their lives. Now, here's the point. They were taking new ground, and so they were facing new and heavy opposition. I just want to warn you today to be strong and courageous. We need to take new ground. You need to take new ground. God is not finished with you yet. There's still hurts. There's still habits. There's still hang-ups that need to be addressed in my life. And in your life, we need to climb a little higher. Now, we can stand here and say, listen, I'm satisfied with where my life is now. And Satan will say, that's fine. I won't bother you too much. But when you say, I'm not satisfied, there's ground to be taken, Satan will rise up and say, you're not going to go any farther. I'm going to stop you right here. You may be in Asia, but you're not coming to Europe. But greater is he in you than he that is in the world. So I want to encourage you today to take the new ground. Take new ground. Take new ground. You are not in the promised land yet. Take new ground. And be strong and courageous when you do it. Get a little tougher. Maybe you're a little soft. Maybe you wear your feelings a little bit on your sleeve. Get a little tougher. Brace yourself. Take new ground. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Stand with me. Stand with me. Let's sing. You want to sing Red Letters again? Let's sing it again. There's some nice lines in there that go along with this sermon. I'm sorry. Will that work? Some prison bars need to be shaking. There's some ground left to take. Listen to me.